Genesis 42 verses 1-8, 26-38, Joseph 5. Verses 1-8, when Jacob learned that there was grain for sale in Egypt, he said to his sons, "Why do you look at one another?" And he said, "Behold, I have heard that there is grain for sale in Egypt. Go down and buy grain for us there, that we may live and not die." So 10 of Joseph's brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Benjamin, Joseph's brother, with his brothers, for he feared that harm might happen to him. Thus the sons of Israel came to buy among the others who came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land. He was the one who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed themselves before him with their faces to the ground. Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he treated them like strangers and spoke roughly to them. "Where do you come from?" he said. They said, "From the land of Canaan, to buy food." And Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Verses 26-38, then they loaded their donkeys with their grain and departed. And as one of them opened his sack to give his donkey fodder at the lodging place, he sought his money in the mouth of his sack. He said to his brothers, "My money has been put back, here it is in the mouth of my sack." At this their hearts failed them, and they turned trembling to one another, saying, "What is this that God has done to us?" When they came to Jacob their father in the land of Canaan, they told him all that had happened to them, saying, "The man, the lord of the land, spoke roughly to us and took us to be spies of the land. But we said to him, 'We are honest men, we have never been spies. We are 12 brothers, sons of our father. One is no more, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan.' Then the man, the lord of the land, said to us, 'By this I shall know that you are honest men. Leave one of your brothers with me, and take grain for the famine of your households, and go your way. Bring your youngest brother to me. Then I shall know that you are not spies but honest men, and I will deliver your brother to you, and you shall trade in the land.' As they emptied their sacks, behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when they and their fathers saw their bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said to them, 'You have bereaved me of my children. Joseph is no more, and Simeon is no more, and now you would take Benjamin. All this has come against me.' Then Reuben said to his father, 'Kill my two sons if I do not bring him back to you. Put him in my hands, and I will bring him back to you.' But he said, 'My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is the only one left. If harm should happen to him on the journey that you are to make, you would bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol.'" 1. Joseph and Jacob. Up until last Lord's Day, we've looked at Joseph's life of suffering, in which his brothers sold him, became a slave, and was falsely accused and imprisoned. The Bible says that this time of suffering was when God was with Joseph and made him prosperous. God made it a blessed time during which he tested Joseph with his word. In particular, God said that he sent Joseph ahead to fulfill his word. In other words, he sent Joseph ahead to save all of Jacob's family, later fulfilling the Exodus salvation of Israel, teaching and testifying about Jesus Christ who would come and fulfill God's word. Since God's pleasing will was fulfilled in Joseph's life, Joseph lived a prosperous life, in which God accompanied him even in suffering. And this life shows us the lives of our saints who participated in the life of Jesus. While the saints live on this earth for a short time, God is with them and makes them prosper. This reality is not simply a life in which our will or goal is fulfilled, but a life in which the will of God, which is better and more perfect, is fulfilled. What is the content of that life? It is a life in which the saints learn obedience through suffering, are refined by the Word, and become perfect. They live a life in which they become more like Jesus and reach the glory of heaven. Since God surely leads all of us saints to this life, we endure with faith in any reality of suffering. Please do not forget this. When we come to Genesis 41, we will see God working through amazing providence while Joseph was imprisoned. Pharaoh had a dream, and when there was no one to interpret it, the cupbearer finally remembered Joseph, who had previously interpreted his dream, and called Joseph out of prison to interpret Pharaoh's dream. When Pharaoh learned that after 7 years of great abundance, there would be 7 years of severe famine, he immediately appointed Joseph as the next prime minister and made him govern all of Egypt and prepare for the times of famine. In this way, Joseph finally went from suffering to glory. However, we must correctly understand the glory that Joseph reached. Joseph did not simply achieve his dream and reach a high position in worldly glory. He reached a position where he saved his family, the people of God, and even the Gentiles from famine and death, and thus reached a position where he testified to the glory of Jesus, the true Savior to come. In this way, God taught us in advance that we too would reach the position of heavenly glory that Jesus reached through suffering. From Genesis 42 onwards, the focus shifts from Joseph to Jacob and his family. God tells us about the events that happened to Joseph's family through Joseph. Jacob, who lived in the land of Canaan, encountered a famine, and Jacob's sons, who were Joseph's brothers, went to Egypt to get food, where they met Joseph, who became the prime minister. Eventually, God's word was fulfilled, and Jacob's entire family immigrated to Egypt and lived there. Finally, in Genesis chapter 50, Jacob died in Egypt, and Joseph brought Jacob's body to Canaan to bury him, and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, near Mamre, where Abraham and Isaac were buried. Finally, Joseph also made a will, asking that when he died, God would allow him to return to the land of Canaan and bury his bones there. Genesis ends with Joseph's death. But just before that, God tells us in more detail that Jacob's journey as a pilgrim in this land ended, and he was buried with his ancestors in the land promised by God, and reached the eternal heavenly home that the land of Canaan points to. Jacob's journey, starting in Genesis 37, this is the account of Jacob's family line, or these are the generations of Jacob, although the passages mainly focus on the story of Joseph, finally ends in Genesis 50 with Jacob being buried in the land of Canaan. Therefore, we also need to examine all the words after chapter 37, including today's text, from Jacob's perspective. Centering on Joseph, we can see that God is telling us the story of Jacob and his descendants, that is, Israel. Ultimately, all the events after Genesis 37 are connected to the events of Israel and the Exodus that follow. As we all know, Israel is another name for Jacob. Not only that, but the lives of Israel in Exodus and Jacob's life are also very similar. Let me give you one example. Jacob, who had received the promise of the blessing of the covenant, experienced a famine in the land of Canaan. Because of the famine, Jacob met Joseph, whom God had sent ahead of him and his family, and entered Egypt to live there until he died and left Egypt to return to the land of Canaan. This is how Jacob's body was brought back. Genesis 50 verses 10 to 13, when they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond the Jordan, they lamented there with a very great and grievous lamentation, and he made a mourning for his father 7 days. 11 When the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning on the threshing floor of Atad, they said, This is a grievous mourning by the Egyptians. Therefore the place was named Abel-Mizraim, it is beyond the Jordan. 12 Thus his sons did for him as he had commanded them, 13 For his sons carried him to the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field at Machpelah, to the east of Mamre, which Abraham bought with the field from Ephron the Hittite to possess as a burying place. Since Egypt is located on the west side of Canaan, there is no need to go to the east side of the Jordan and cross the Jordan River to enter Canaan. However, Joseph mourns Jacob's death for 7 days at the threshing floor of Adad on the east side of the Jordan, then crosses the Jordan River, enters Canaan, and buries him in the place where Abraham and Isaac were buried. This journey of Jacob, Jacob's Exodus, is where the Israelites later participate. Israel also, through death, that is, through the final judgment that came upon Egypt in the form of the death of the firstborn, and the Israelites are saved from that judgment of death by the blood of the Passover lamb, and are saved through the Exodus. After that, they cross the Jordan River from the east side of the Jordan and enter Canaan to inherit the land. The Israelites participate in Jacob's journey. However, there is a more important reason for this journey of Jacob. It is because it points to the new Exodus, to the heavenly salvation that Jesus will accomplish. Jesus also lived a life as a pilgrim on this earth, and through his death on the cross, he crossed the Jordan River and reached the glory of heaven that the land of Canaan pointed to. And through Jesus' atoning death, we too were freed from sin, death, and the power of Satan, lived a life in this world that was like the wilderness for a while, and finally crossed the Jordan River, a river of death with blessings, and reached heaven. Thus, he made us follow the path that Jesus took. He first showed us this reality through Jacob's life journey. 2. Jacob's few and evil life. That is why we need to look back on Jacob's life journey, focusing on Joseph's life from suffering to glory. Through this, we can learn about the life journey of our saints on this earth, centered on Jesus. First, we need to look at how the Bible tells us about Jacob's life. It tells us about three major things. First, God said, "I loved Jacob, but I hated Esau." Malachi 1 verses 2-3, "I have loved you," says the Lord. But you say, "How have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother?" declares the Lord. "Yet I have loved Jacob 3, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert." Romans 9 verse 13, "As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." We see that Jacob was loved by God. Moreover, it is said that Jacob lived by faith and died by faith. Hebrews 11 verse 21, "By faith Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff." God gave Jacob faith, and he lived by faith and died by faith. But how did Jacob, who received God's love and lived by faith, testify to the life he lived by faith, receiving God's love? When Jacob came to live in Egypt, he looked back on his life and testified to Pharaoh about his life like this. Genesis 47 verse 9, "And Jacob said to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my sojourning are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojourning." Jacob looks back on his life before he dies and confesses that he has lived few and evil life as a pilgrim. Here the word evil doesn't imply wickedness, but rather misery or distress. It means that Jacob's life was very short, difficult, and miserable when he looked back. Let's connect these three realities that the Bible tells us about Jacob's life. These realities are a life loved by God, a life of faith, and a difficult life of a pilgrim. Last week, we learned about Joseph's life as a life with God, a life of suffering, and a life disciplined by the Word. Aren't they all similar? But what do you think? Do you think these three lives fit together so well? If so, then we understand the gospel. That's right. These three realities are the realities of the saints on this earth. However, even though we know this, it is not easy to acknowledge them in our lives. No, God loves us and made us live by faith, but it is a short and difficult life as a pilgrim and then we die in a foreign land. God's people are loved by God and live by faith, but God's people must also go through a short and vain life under the sun, as Ecclesiastes says. That is why, in this world, the lives of believers and non-believers, those whom God loves and those whom God hates, are very similar. Therefore, if we do not know and acknowledge how blessed the life of a believing saint is, and the grace of the gospel and the great love of God hidden behind it, our lives will be filled with constant complaints and resentment toward God rather than gratitude and praise. How can we know that the life of a saint who is loved by God and lives by faith, but lives a short and difficult life as a pilgrim and then dies, is a blessed life? There is clear evidence. Whose life was that in the end? It was Jesus. Look at Jesus. Jesus, who received God's love and lived with perfect faith, became the author and perfecter of our faith, but didn't he also live a short, difficult, and miserable life as a pilgrim on this earth? And didn't he go through a vain life under the sun? And then he died on the cross. But that wasn't the end. He finally reached the glory of heaven after resurrection. Jacob and our saints were called through this life of Jesus. These three realities were Jesus' life on this earth and our blessed life. So we shouldn't try to confirm God's blessings with worldly, visible, and tangible realities. Everyone in this world has to go through a short and difficult path. However, saints must look to the great grace of God hidden within. What was it? This is what we looked at in Joseph's life last week. For God to make his beloved children grow in the image of his Son, he always accompanies them, gives them faith, and trains them with his word through their difficult life as pilgrims, ultimately leading them to the eternal heavenly rest in glory. Therefore, the life of receiving God's love and living by faith must be connected to the difficult life of a pilgrim on this earth for a while, but this life ultimately leads us to eternal heavenly rest in glory. Therefore, the difficult life of a saint itself is also a great blessing in love of God. This is because God is with us and works in it. This is because he allows us to walk with him and live in fear of him. Then, let's take a closer look at Jacob's life so far to see how God's great blessing and love were poured into Jacob's difficult life as a pilgrim on this earth. Jacob was chosen by God and loved by God from the womb of his mother Rebekah. However, his life was always filled with sin, as he turned away from God, sought the world, and lived according to his evil desires. In the end, he did not believe in God's promise, deceived his father and brother, and tried to obtain the eldest son's inheritance with worldly methods and wisdom, but lost everything, and had to flee to his uncle Laban's house to avoid the threat of death. However, on the way back, he met God who accompanied him, received the word of promise, and faith began to appear in his life. However, Jacob's new life, which he began to live by faith, was not so smooth. He suffered from the continued fraud and evil deeds of his uncle Laban, and because of this, his faith wavered, he forgot God's promise, and even went to live a life of seeking this world. However, God was with him and strengthened Jacob with the word of promise, and in the end, he took Rachel, whom he loved so much, and her older sister Leah as his wives, and returned to the land of Canaan with his children. However, even when Jacob entered the land of Canaan, he did not hold on to God's promise firmly, but was still afraid of Esau, and tried to return with human wisdom and methods instead of faith. Even at that time, God wrestled with Jacob and made him hold on to only the word of God and his promise, and finally he faced Esau, and eventually he returned to Bethel where he first met God and worshipped God. However, during that journey, his beloved wife Rachel died giving birth to their youngest son Benjamin, and later he believed that even his most beloved son Joseph had died, and he had to live in great sorrow and pain. After that, due to a famine, he had to send all his children to Egypt to get food, and he suffered the pain of possibly losing his youngest son Benjamin, and he met Joseph and left the promised land of Canaan and lived in a foreign land called Egypt until he died. This is the life of Jacob, who received God's covenant blessing in great love and lived by faith. As he confessed, it was a difficult life as a pilgrim. It is not a very blessed life in the world. It is our life. In a way, this is the life of all sinners who have lived under common grace and common curse since the fall of Adam and Eve. They have to walk a vain and futile path under the sun. But what is the evidence that Jacob received God's great blessing in love? God was always with him. He did not leave him, abandon him, or give up on him, but continued to strengthen him with his word of promise, and worked together all that happened in his life for good so that Jacob could live by faith until the end. God led Jacob's entire life, making it not in vain. God showed this blessed reality through Joseph and also through Jacob, and finally showed it when Jacob crossed the Jordan River and entered the land of Canaan, and was buried. Jacob, having lived a difficult life as a foreigner, finally entered the promised land and found rest under God's presence and guidance. It was a life that God led to the destination that God had promised. To reach that destination, God made him go through a difficult life on this earth for a while, but even then, God was always with him and worked in his life, and he helped him reach his destination safely where his eternal home is. This is the great grace and love of God shown in Jacob's life. Dear saints, when we live this difficult life as pilgrims for a while, we must remember that God has a clear purpose and destination. He does not let us remain in vain under the sun. He works all things together for good. We live a difficult life for a while, but there is a sure end. Therefore, the life of the saints in this world is neither a conclusion nor a purpose in itself. It is a process toward the conclusion and purpose that God has decreed. It is to reach the eternal rest of heaven and the glory that Jesus has reached. To reach that conclusion and purpose, the saved saints must go through the difficult life as pilgrims and walk the path of sanctification. They must go through the process of being refined by the Word during suffering. Therefore, for us too, God's love, faith, and the short and difficult life as pilgrims are one life that cannot be separated. By God's grace, the short and difficult life as a pilgrim has achieved eternal glory. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 17-18, "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." 18 "As we look not to the things that are seen but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." Look back at the life of Jesus again. God's love, faith, and short and difficult life as a pilgrim are fully revealed in the life of Jesus. Jesus was the only begotten Son whom God loved most from eternity. And on this earth, he lived only loving God with perfect faith. But what was Jesus' life like? When God's beloved Son prayed, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me," what did God the Father answer? He did not let the cup of wrath pass from his beloved Son. He allowed his Son to be crucified, turned his face away from him, and poured out his infinite wrathful judgment. Why did God's most beloved Son have to suffer such terrible suffering? Truly, the cross was so foolish and stumbling to the world in human wisdom. However, God's amazing wisdom and power were hidden in it, and through the cross of his Son, God accomplished our eternal salvation and destroyed Satan. Romans 11 verses 33-34, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! 34:4 Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" 1 Corinthians 2 verses 6-9, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. 7 But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. 8 None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. 9 But, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." Dear saints, we must confirm God's love by looking at the cross of Jesus, and we must also believe in God's wisdom and power that guides our lives by looking at the cross of Jesus. We must live with a firm belief that God's love, faith, and the difficult life of a pilgrim were Jesus' life and also our blessed reality. We must live with a firm belief that we are participating in Jesus' life. Only then can we joyfully endure the suffering that comes before us. Sometimes we too may want to pray, "Father God, if possible, please take this cup from me." However, even if God does not do so, we must believe in God's wisdom, will, love, and power. Sometimes, when we are in extreme pain and when God does not take the cup from us, our confidence in God's love or our faith may waver. We may have doubts, questions, complaints, resentment, hatred, and anger. However, even then, we must believe in God, who raised Jesus from death and brought him to the glory of heaven. God is good. Jesus said that no one is good except God. Therefore, even in our difficult life as a pilgrim, we must believe that God will only lead us to his good purpose. We should not judge the cross of Jesus by our wisdom and worldly ideas. If we judge the cross of Jesus by our wisdom and worldly ideas, we will only see failure and hopelessness. However, there is victory and glory there. The same is true for us. No matter how harsh and difficult the reality is, it is not all. God's love and wisdom that we cannot fully understand guide our lives. He leads us to the heavenly home, making us more like Christ. By believing in this, we can overcome everything, even death. 3. Israel's journey as a pilgrim. Soon, the descendants of Jacob, the Israelites, will follow the difficult journey of Jacob as a pilgrim. In particular, they will have to travel through the wilderness for 40 years. Even though the 40 years of life in the wilderness were brought about by Israel's sins and disobedience, God tells us the reason why he made them go on this difficult journey as wanderers in the wilderness. Deuteronomy 8 verses 2-3, "And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. 3 And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. God said that he made his people walk the path of the wilderness to test them and see what their hearts were like and whether they would obey his commands or not, and that he wanted them to know that they should live not by the bread of the world but by the word of God, the bread from heaven. Joseph's life was also a life of testing through suffering with the word. All the saints must go through suffering to test them with the word so that they can live not by the bread of the world but by the bread of heaven. That bread of heaven is Jesus Christ. He humbled his people in the difficult life of a sojourner and made them hungry to hold on to Jesus, the bread of life, alone. In the end, he wanted us to learn this. The Apostle Paul also said this. Philippians 4 verses 11 to 13, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. 12 I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. 13 I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Whether facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, the Apostle Paul says that he learned all the secrets of being content. He learned all the secrets of overcoming and persevering by faith in any situation because he knew God's love for him, Jesus' grace, and the blessings of heaven, and because he knew the purpose and will of God through the Holy Spirit leading him through the Word. We too learn this secret through the gospel during our journey as pilgrims. Ultimately, a crown of glory awaits the saints who have passed through this period of God's testing and refining. However, we do pass this period not by our own strength but by the grace of Jesus Christ. It means that we participate in the life that Jesus has already passed through in our place and on our behalf and that we will eventually reach glory. Jacob also participated in Jesus' life and reached the glory of heaven. In today's text, Joseph gave birth to two sons after reaching glory. Looking at their names, we can see Joseph's confession of life led by God and the confession of our saints. Genesis 41 verses 50 to 52, "Before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On, bore them to him. 51 Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For, he said, God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house. 52 The name of the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. On the day when God brings us to the glory of heaven, he will make us forget all the hardships of this world and make our lives prosperous in our eternal home. Until that glorious day, even while we are living a difficult life as pilgrims, do not forget that God is with us and guides us with love, and I hope that you will live more by faith in the word of the gospel."